It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. It's the 27th and a Sunday. Happy New Week to everybody. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. We thank you for joining us today here at Torso Ministry. That's Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. At this time, my wife, Undream Dove, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to open up your word and to spend some time in worship. We thank you for your protection throughout the night. And now we ask that your spirit would teach us the things we need to know as you help us as we grow in grace and wisdom. Be with our pastor as he speaks, anoint his words, and grant us, Lord, the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit to dwell within him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
High Priest in Hebrews chapter 13. This is the last chapter in the book of Hebrews, and it's been great. So as we've established Jesus as the high priest in heaven, you know, God is ending this chapter with some wonderful principles teaching us how to walk together and how to serve him, and we're going to dig right in. Father, be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, the first thing it says in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. You know, brothers and sisters, there was a secular song that came out once. It said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. You know, I just remember that phrase. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one toward another. We need to love people. We have to get rid of our selfishness and stop looking at our own betterment in the absence of the betterment of others. If we just look out for ourselves and that's all we look out for, we're not going to make it into the kingdom, friends. There's going to be unselfish love for the brethren in the kingdom of heaven, and we have to start practicing that today. Now, this is interesting because it says, let brotherly love continue. Do you know that there's basically three things that the Bible tells us to continue to do? In the book of John, chapter 8, it says, if you continue in my word, I think it's verse 30, then are you my disciples indeed, might be verse 31. I believe it is, that's John 8, 31, Philippians 4, 2, continue in prayer. So now this says, let brotherly love continue. Do you know, friends, these are the main three things we're told to continue in the Bible, and they represent the three pieces of furniture in the holy place. As you left the outer court, which represented the death of Christ and the cleansing from the blood of Christ, you began a Christian walk. So when you went into the holy place, the table of showbread, continue in God's word, because man shall not live by bread alone. That represented God's word, remember? And then it says continue in prayer, the altar of incense. The incense would rise up above the curtain into the most holy place, okay? So that would be continuing in prayer. And we don't pray about enough things. We don't pray prayers of thanksgiving. We don't thank God for what he has done. If you thank God for what he has done, you'll remember that you didn't do it, okay? And so when we accomplish things, I'm looking here at a textbook. Brothers and sisters, that was the Holy Spirit that inspired this textbook. And the more I thank God for what he has done, I'll remind myself it wasn't me. It wasn't Maria. It was the Lord that did this thing. You see, what is that scripture? It is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And so that's what we're talking about here today. And then finally, to the left, if you walked into that tabernacle, you had the golden candlestick. We're supposed to let brotherly love continue. So that's serving others. So if we stay in God's word, continue in constant prayer, and be of service to others and not just look out for ourselves, you are guaranteed that you're going to make it into the kingdom. Guaranteed. Okay? So let brotherly love continue reminds us of the other two pieces of furniture in the most holy place. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, brothers and sisters, we should always keep an eye open for an opportunity to minister to somebody. It doesn't have to be somebody you know. It doesn't have to be somebody close to you. It should be, we should be willing to say hello to strangers and entertain strangers. And sometimes, if the Holy Spirit tells you to, have them over to your home. You see, some have entertained angels without even realizing it by so doing, brothers and sisters. And so we should be kind to everybody we see. We should be a light. We should be the one speaking to people, smiling at people. You know, there's this beautiful song, you can smile when you can't say a word. You can smile when you cannot be heard. You can smile when it's cloudy or fair. You can smile anytime, anywhere. Do you know that a smile has kept many a person from committing suicide because somebody just said, hello, how are you doing, with a smile? And they realized they had value and they had worth. Oh, my friend, sometimes it's the little things that we just forget about. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You know, friends, do you know anybody in prison? Maybe God might pray about it. Maybe God might be telling you to reach out to them. You know, you can actually have an account. You have to have a debit or credit card. And every time they call you, it might take about $2 or $3 off the card. You know, why not invest in somebody and let them call you at least once a week? And you'd be surprised when you're just in a cell. See, some of us, thank God for me, it was a false arrest, but I've been arrested before. I know what it's like to be behind a jail cell and hear the clanging. And just imagine day after day, year after year. You know, my wife and I have been just doing some research, you might say, about this organization called the Innocence Project. And, you know, just to hear the stories, people who've been in jail because of bad policing. Everybody in jail isn't even guilty. And the ones that are, they still need Christian fellowship, okay? So, brothers and sisters, those who are in bonds, we should remember them, you know. I have a couple of people, by the grace of God, that call me, and I know these people are innocent, actually, and they were wrongly put in jail, and we're praying for their release. But the point being made is that we need to remember them. What if it was you in jail? Would you want somebody to remember you, write to you, be able to call to those people? Absolutely. That's their lifeline to the outside. You're their lifeline to the outside world. God has given us practical godliness here. It says marriage is honorable, and it is, brothers and sisters. You know, when you're married, it's a beautiful thing because two lives from two totally different backgrounds can merge themselves together. That is an honorable thing because you have to give up some things. You just can't have it your way like Burger King. You can't have a Burger King marriage, have it your way. It doesn't work that way. Husbands or wives, it does not work that way. You have to humble yourself. You have to consider your spouse. You have to do what you can to please your spouse, brothers and sisters. You have to look out for one another, protect one another, protect one another's reputation, so on and so forth. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Of course, that's the marriage relation. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see, brothers and sisters, God is helping us to understand that as he gives us these final things to consider, he recognizes the power of sensuality. When the children of Israel were about to get to the promised land, God used the Midianitish women to tempt the men, and those men went to bed with those Midianitish women, and it caused almost a whole generation of people to die, the last of that generation. And only Caleb and Joshua from that previous generation would go in to the promised land. And that is a symbol of our time, because that getting into Canaan was a symbol of us getting into heaven, okay? That was symbolic of that. And so God is trying to help us understand that just before Jesus comes, the devil's going to turn up the sensual passions, and that's why we see homosexuality just out of control, okay? And because it's still all about fornication. You just see other forms. It's just normal. It's all in the movies. It's all on the TV programs. It's all right to just, you meet somebody, you just go to bed with them. I mean, it's just normal. But it's not normal, friend. It's normal to sinful worldliness, to sinful worldlings, but it's not normal. And it will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. If you are involved in it, stop, ask God for help, do whatever, fast and pray and get away and stop allowing the devil to have such a easy access to you. You know, somebody gives you a call, old boyfriend, girlfriend, somebody from high school, you know, and you start feeling certain feelings, you need to stop it right there. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to have these, you know, feelings to grow and fester and cause you to lose your salvation, brothers and sisters. It's not worth it. So these are powerful ending principles God has given us. Then it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. You know, sometimes we try to woo people. We try to say nice things to people because we want something from them, you know. And then it's such that when somebody's nice to you, it's so bad now that when somebody's nice to you, you just automatically think they want something from you. You know, we can't even be nice anymore because of this this trend of selfishness that has come. But God says, let your conversation be without covetousness. That means without wanting something that is not supposed to come to you. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If we have Jesus, we have everything we need, and he will lead and guide, and he will provide as we need it day by day. That doesn't mean we aren't to try to help our brothers and sisters, because we are. He will use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Friends, when we understand that the Lord is our helper and we are not afraid of what man will do, we're on our way to the kingdom of heaven. You see, we're so afraid of losing our popularity or losing our place in the church or losing the honor that's been given to us or whatever. You know, I'm here to tell you that most medical professionals are afraid of losing their jobs. And so all of them aren't believing that a shot is going to solve the problems of a pestilence that has come upon the world, friends. Many of them do understand, but, you know, they've got to feed their family, you see. So we need to have a stronger faith so we don't fear what man has done unto us, and we will take a stand. You know, I'm in association with doctors. I'm not a doctor, medical doctor, but I'm in association with doctors, and they're my friends. They've lost their jobs because they have seen statistically a particular shot and what it's doing, causing all this myocarditis and heart problems and deaths and clogged arteries and so on and so forth. And they're speaking up and they're losing their jobs, friends. There's going to come a point in time where every earthly support is going to be cut off. And if we can't run with the footmen, how are we going to deal with horses? And if we can't, in times of peace wherein we trust, be faithful, what are we going to do when the Jordan swells? Jeremiah 12:5. It says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So God tells us to respect those who are teaching the word of God. They should have a level of respect. But guess what, brothers and sisters? This is twisted and perverted. And people say, well, I got to follow the pastor because he's the pastor. Listen to what the word actually says. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. If he's not speaking unto you what God has said and he's speaking about what he has said, you're not supposed to follow that. It says whose faith follow, not whose presumption follow. Faith is believing what God said and then acting upon it when God says it. Okay? Presumption is believing the promises of God but not acting upon the principles that lead you to those promises, friends. Considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 8, God does not change. You can read that also in Malachi. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. So the principles of God that you see in the Bible are the same principles that God operates on today. People actually think they were saved differently in the Old Testament. They were not. Jesus had not come, so they had some additional requirements to keep in their minds a Savior to come. But they weren't saved a different way. There's only one way to be saved, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's Jesus, my friend. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We just read the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samson even, all these people, when they were in their converted state, were faithful to God and had faith in God, brothers and sisters. And so these were Old Testament people. They live by faith. They didn't live by works. The saved ones, the ones who are going to be saved. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Friends, that's what's happening today. We've got some strange doctrines. You got people teaching that it's all right for God gave me a new word. And maybe somebody else has had it, but he's going to have me really massage this. You know, we call this act homosexuality. But what about, the Lord just gave me a thought. And we say it's a violation of rights. They say it's a violation of rights not to let a man, you know, marry a man or a woman marry a woman. Okay, well, and the government shouldn't legislate against that. Well, why does the government legislate in every state against polygamy? Why is that? If the government can legislate, and nobody has a problem with that, so, you know, this new word, you know, they're always coming out with new words, LGBTQIA, and they're just coming up with different words, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you there's a new one. I don't know if I coined it. I just tell you what God gave me in the middle of the night. If you have homosexuality, duo-mosexuality. Now, duo is two, so or trio-mosexuality, quadruple-homosexuality. I want four husbands, but I want them to be my wives, and I'm a man, if a man would say that. Well, if you're going to say that it's wrong for the government to challenge your marriage to a man, then you have the same right to say the government can challenge my right to marry two men or three men or four women if you're a woman, okay? So I'm just showing you the inconsistency. That doesn't even make sense. You would say, yeah, that doesn't make sense. We're not going to have the government do that. But you keep living long enough, brothers and sisters, and that's the next thing that's out. You're going to say, Shellum told us about this. No, I didn't. Y'all are already doing that kind of foolishness. You just want it to be recognized. And so, my friends, I'm here to tell you that we've got some strange doctrines and we've got some strange beliefs that have come into the church. You know, we are blind. You know, the American bird of symbol is the eagle, but really it needs to be the bat because a bat is blind. And so the white wing, the right wing and the left wing, you know, the lefters are the Democrats, the right is the Republicans, and they're fighting against each other. We need to change the national bird to a bat because this right against the left and left against the right is causing us to be blind as a bat. And all you have to do is just test to switch the roles. If President Trump was the one who was saying a man should be able to marry a man, okay, and his party was pushing that, the Democrats would be yelling, he's immoral. If President Biden was the one who was saying, I'm going to stay in office no matter what, and anything that comes against me, it's got to be a stolen election, and he would have said some things that led hundreds, if not thousands of people, I don't remember how many it was, to storm the Capitol to keep the election from being counted, the Republicans would be up in arms, and you know I'm telling the truth. So this is not about truth and righteousness. It's about selfishness. And we are not looking at with a bird's eye view, like an eagle has a very bird's eye, a really strong eye, at the truth of the Bible and the Constitution. We're just wanting our political person to win. That's what's happening in America today. The eagle has been replaced by a bat, and we are blind as a bat. That's what's happening, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you the reason for it is because it's going to lead to the perversion, the total perversion of the Constitution. When they stormed the Capitol, they said they were doing it in honor of the Constitution. And when they say a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman, they're saying they're doing it in honor of the Constitution. It's their civil right, according to the Constitution. They have perverted the Constitution, the Republicans and the Democrats, brothers and sisters. The Constitution does not support an insurrection, and the Constitution does not support man with man, woman with woman. Who you fornicate with is not a protected constitutional right, okay? But we've perverted the Constitution. In order for them to bring in a national Sunday law, the Constitution must be perverted. And this is how you're seeing it being perverted, so that it doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. They could twist it and go around it and obliterate it any kind of way they want. And you see, that's where we're headed. So I hope you see the signs of the times. In order for what Revelation 13 says will happen, in order for it to happen, the Constitution of the United States must be perverted, must be eat the tenets of the Constitution, must be done away with, okay? And that's what you're seeing happening. It's just not happening regarding Sunday yet. It's happening regarding the Constitution, though, so it loses its purity and its focus and its power. Okay, and that's what God is trying to help us understand. All right, friends, let's read on. It says, that's what I mean, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed, brothers and sisters. What he told us in the Bible, about homosexuality, what he told us about violence, is still the same today. Okay? So to the Republican Party, to the Democratic Party, if you love the Lord, you're going to give up that party and come with Jesus, who said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. It goes on and says, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. Now, this is not saying that you shouldn't have a health message, brothers and sisters. It's saying that your religion shouldn't be based upon what you eat. Our religion is based upon righteousness by faith. Grace is power and pardon to live a new life, okay? So in that life, yes, you're going to follow God's health message. But see, some people, their whole religion is built upon what they eat. And so they're the food police, or what they eat, what they wear. They're the dress police. You know, we shouldn't be. We should love one another, brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a standard of dress. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a standard. It's just that when you love God, you follow the standard. It just comes naturally because you love God. You see, if you love me, keep my commandments. It is a result of that love. You don't follow the commandment in order to win God's love. Okay? Let's read on. We have an altar whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That's talking about the gate of the tabernacle, meaning he suffered in what would be symbolized as the outer court. And therefore, even in his death, Jesus was turned over to the Romans. He died on a Roman hill of Golgotha. Okay, it was a Roman. But the church turned him in. The church turned him in, brothers and sisters. We have more to fear from within than from without. We will experience persecution. Persecution comes from the church. How do we know? Because Matthew 5, I believe it's 12. I'm not sure about the verse, but it says, for so persecuted they the prophets, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it says, for so persecuted thou the prophets. Okay, so, I'm sorry. One is in Matthew 23. And one is in Matthew 5. So it doesn't call it Jerusalem, but it says that for so persecuted they, the prophets, in Matthew 5. And then in Matthew 23, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. So it was the church, brothers and sisters. It was the Sabbath-keeping church, particularly at that time. It was the people who were once the people of God who turned Jesus in to be crucified. So, friends, don't think it can't happen again. The history repeats itself. And so don't think that you're going to be saved by being part of an organization. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we don't have the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins and then empowering us, you know, to live a new life, it's there. Will you accept it? It's the question. We're not going to make it into the kingdom. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. I like that. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. What happens in a marriage when things aren't going right? Stop talking to each other. What happens when nations go to war? They stop sitting across the table from each other. Communication has to stop. They're not going to be bombing each other, and they're constantly in positive communication with each other. When the communication is stopped at the table, that's when the bullets start flying, okay? So my point being made is it is a sacrifice to communicate, but you need to learn how, and you need to massage it and work it, and you have to work it out in your marriage. You know, sometimes you have to learn, okay, let's just say you talk a lot, like myself. I have to learn, okay, my wife might want to say something, so I need to make my points kind of short and succinct, and vice versa, so that we don't have to wait a long time to get a word in. That's frustrating. It is, and I understand that. And sometimes people just like to dominate conversations. That's not godly, friends. You know, that's not communication. Communication is both hearing and speaking. It is listening and also speaking. And to hear the other person and try to understand things from their perspective. And if their perspective is not right, pray about it. Ask God to show you how to help that person, you know, have the right perspective. If their perspective of you is wrong, help them to understand that's not who I am. This is who I am. This is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to be for you, so on and so forth. Just being nice, brothers and sisters, can solve a lot of problems in our marriages, in our homes, in our churches. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul that they must give an account. This is talking about mostly in the church. The application would be, well, this is talking about in the church. Again, there should be order and organization in the church, okay? If there's a Sabbath school superintendent and they say, folks, we need to stop the Sabbath school, we shouldn't just say, I want to stop Sabbath school anytime I want to. I'm a teacher. No. You have to have order in the church, friends. And the pastor has a level of authority. But remember, we submit ourselves one to another. The pastor is not the last word in the church. And a lot of pastors don't know that, but they're not. It's the word of God. And so the people understand the word of God and they follow the pastor because he's teaching the word of God. If he steps out from teaching the word of God, they should lovingly entreat him, but they can't follow him in that. They need to tell him, Pastor, I can't follow you in this because it's against God's word, you see. And so the church is preserved from apostasy with such thinking. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, he says, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You know, pastors should be asking the members, pray for us, please. Pray for us, because we believe we're living honestly, and that means we want to be sure we're living honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forevermore, forever and ever, it says, amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. If we could live like they live, like this word just teaches just now, friends, we'll be doing quite well. May God bless you and keep you. Let's live for Jesus today. We are finished with the book of Hebrews. We're moving forward in God's word on tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love of God. We ask that you bless us now as we are, and help us to be found faithful. Help us, Lord, that your name will be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it's time for our transition. Take a little break. We're going to hear the torso song. After that, we'll be back to talk about fibroids. Amen.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If you're brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormality may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If you're your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, there is a beautiful substance that God made in our bodies. It's called hormones. Hormones are usually secreted from endocrine glands, which basically secrete hormones in the blood. You can have hormones outside the blood, which would be exocrine, but generally speaking, most of the hormones we are dealing with are endocrine hormones. And so the bottom line is there's a hormone called estrogen, and even estrogen has different divisions. There's three main types of estrogen. We're just lumping them all together for our purpose. And basically, because of the diet that people have and the lifestyle that people have, our estrogen levels tend to be excessive, okay? We end up with excessive estrogen levels. That's what happens in our daily walk. So when you think about the live free lifestyle, so it says love God. Well, that means that that's going to get God, cause God to be the Lord of your life. And that means that all the burdens on your, you know, you're carrying on your shoulder, you would put on him. So imagine a person being totally stressed out. Well, when you're stressed out like that, your estrogen levels are going to rise. We can show that from the Bible. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. Phinehas's wife was with child, near to be delivered, and when she heard bad news that her husband was dead and her father-in-law was dead, that bad news caused her to go in, caused stress, and she went into premature labor. Well, when you go into labor, your estrogen levels shoot up real high because estrogen causes lots of blood flow and it causes contractions. That's why when women have difficult periods every month, there's a lot of blood flow and there's strong contractions. That's that pain. That's too much estrogen. And so the estrogen levels rose too high before she was actually ready. And so most likely she hemorrhaged to death. Before she died, she named the child Ichabod. Okay? So that's just an example that when you trust God or when you don't have trust in God, then your estrogen levels are too high. And when you go to include temperance, if you are intemperate, that means you're smoking and drinking and doing drugs. Those cause your estrogen levels to go high because they cause internal stress. The internal stress might not be considered what we think about as emotional stress, but when you stress out your organs, it's still defined as stress, and it causes a response that increases your estrogen levels. Now, one way it increases your estrogen levels is that cortisol in your adrenal glands gets converted to progesterone, which keeps estrogen in balance, okay? But when that when you have so much stress, it doesn't convert the cortisol. It says, no, I can't give you progesterone, body. I've got to keep this as a stress hormone. And so it stays as cortisol and doesn't convert to progesterone, and that allows the estrogen to just keep rising. Remember, progesterone keeps it at bay, and so that's another reason. So just by stressing out your adrenal glands, smoking, drinking, doing drugs, eating too much sugar, all these kinds of bad habits, okay, include temperance. Vital water. Depends if you don't have enough water. Water is the source of the eliminative process through defecation, urination, respiration, perspiration, and detoxification. Those three, all five of those, and I just named the process from the liver, the kidney, the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, and the colon, okay? Five of the seven channels of elimination. There's only seven total, and all of them need water. You have blood and lymph. If you want to add that to it, without enough water, they're going to be stagnant, okay? So you've got to have vital water or the toxins won't leave efficiently. And if the toxins don't leave efficiently, then you're going to have internal stress. that's going to cause more estrogen because the internal stress still affects your adrenal glands, right? And then you move on to eat healthy. Well, if we don't eat, if we eat the flesh of dead animals, that has estrogen in it, or milk, eggs, cheese, those have estrogen in it because they come from animals, and those animals have estrogen. So when you eat an animal-based diet, you're adding extra estrogen, okay? And then when we eat refined foods like white flour, white rice, white sugar, that stresses out the adrenals, and I already talked to you about how that causes cortisol not to be converted into progesterone, allowing the estrogen just to keep rising. And then we move to the free and live free fresh air. It just is a tonic for the whole body. You know, I'm in my office right now. You all might hear a hit of the little morning sound because I got my window open. I don't know if you all can hear it. But nonetheless, just that fresh air, friends, it's very helpful to our human body. And so it's going to help invigorate you and will help make you healthy. And therefore, if you're healthy, you don't have a lot of internal stress. So in a secondary way, fresh air is very good to relieve your hormone imbalance. And then you have the rest. If you don't get enough rest, you're going to be stressed out. That is going to cause more estrogen. And then you had exercise. Do you know that exercise lowers your estrogen levels when it's high? That's why a gymnast, female gymnast, does not have a period. That's a known fact. They exercise so profusely that they just don't have enough estrogen to have a monthly cycle. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just simply saying that's what happens. And so, but it does show that more exercise would keep estrogen in balance. And then finally, enjoy sunlight. When you have plenty of vitamin D and melatonin, it actually does help you with your hormones and your balancing of hormones and how your body is working. And so why did I mention all that? Because it's our violation of these laws that causes estrogen to be out of balance. When estrogen is out of balance, sometimes it can cause more cancers in male and female areas. But when it doesn't cause more cancers, it will cause things like endometriosis and fibroids in women. It will cause enlarged prostates in men. And so it's estrogen is the problem. We've got to balance the estrogen. So we do that by starting off, if you want to really get a start, you know, go on a fast, limit things like carrot juice, drink more green drinks, water and green drinks. That's going to help you balance out that estrogen and lower the estrogen levels and cause your immune system to be inspired and increased. And eventually the tumors will start shrinking, the fibroids will start shrinking. The longer you can fast, the better off you'll be. But if you fast and then let's say you did a 10-day fast and then you stayed plant-based with lots of fruits and vegetables, exercising every day, drinking plenty of water, it will continue to shrink. We do have a fibroid herbal extract. Just go to torso.org, and just look on our store, the shop, and look for fibroid EX. You also want to look for hormone balance herbal extract. I don't have them in front to show you, but you want fibroid X hormone balance. It'll help lower the estrogen levels. And that's how we cure in the name of Jesus, friends, with this live-free lifestyle. And so that's basically it. A person, you know, there are things that you have to know. Sometimes people are bleeding real heavy, and you should take things like shepherd's purse. It helps the bleeding to stop. In between periods, really get a lot more exercise and change your lifestyle and diet. You can't do too much when a person is going through their period and there's heavy bleeding because they're probably anemic, and you don't want to be doing like fever baths, hot baths in situations like that. So let's use some common sense there. Sometimes they can handle a little steam. Just depends on how weak they are, how anemic they are. But and they may need things like blackstrap molasses, or there is a product that you can get commercially called Floradix. It's a natural iron, because usually they're going to be lacking if they have the heavy bleeding. The fibroid focuses on the uterus. Either it's going to grow inside the uterus, outside the uterus, or within the wall of the uterus. There's different types of fibroids. But they can all be shrunk with naturally just by following God's health plan, friends. One of the most unnecessary surgeries ever performed is a hysterectomy. It's usually performed when a woman has fibroids, and it can be through fasting and a lifestyle that's healthy they can be taken care of. So that's our talk on fibroid. Phone lines are open. Go ahead and press star 6. This is our first day of class, and we are looking forward to it. I think there was a comment there. I'm going to read any comments as I go through roll call today. We have Sister Vicky saying good morning out of Georgia. We have Sister Angela in South Carolina. We got our dear brother Brian in Africa. We've got our Sister Glorious. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I'm thinking it was Virginia. Anyway, she says good morning to everyone. We've got Sister Tanya, and that's in Michigan. Michelle in Ohio. She says, good morning. I'm so excited to start on this new journey today with the class that is starting. Praise God. Brother Peyton out of North Carolina. He says, good morning. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware. Delaware again. And we have Michigan. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. We have Michigan again and Georgia. Those of you who signed up for the school on Friday evening, you should have received an email. You need that email. It has a link just for students. If you did not get it, let me know right away. We'll get it to you. We don't want you to wait until we're like getting ready and you're sending all these emails and text messages. I didn't get my link. I didn't get my link. So do it early if you didn't get it. But several emails were sent out, and it had the link for today. That link for today is for students only. It's not to be shared. We pretty much are at capacity. So if you share it with somebody else, you can keep a student who is registered from getting on. Please be honest and don't do that. We appreciate your love and honesty and righteousness in that point, and we're looking forward to that. Now, we preached a sermon yesterday. Go to torso.org to listen to that sermon. It's a nice prelude for our class. It's not required, but it's a sermon from science. We talk about the skin and the plan of redemption, and we'll be talking about the skin today as we deal with various diseases, their causes, their prevention, and their cures. All right. Again, check your emails, friends. Let me know. You need to make sure you got that link, those who are in the class. There's nobody in the queue. We have about 7 minutes. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, please press star 6. We've got about, as I said, about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. That's plenty of time to answer any questions, comments, prayer requests, hear a testimony, any of those wonderful things. Is there anyone that has anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, by the grace of God, let's move forward. Happy New Week to everybody. And we do have Sister Desiree. We'll go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning to you. Listen, I just wanted to say, and good morning, everyone, that I know what you're saying is true. I'm just connecting the dots. I was quite frustrated, and I was having issues with fibroids. And they said, if you want to know a good doctor, ask, you know, a nurse or someone in the medical field. And so I did. And she led me to this doctor that believed in more alternative ways. And I told him, look, I'm frustrated. You know, the bleeding was too heavy. And he said, hold on, Desiree, hold on. And he said, let's try this oblation. And I just thank God because I left. The Holy Spirit told me to leave my gynecologist. You're not having babies no more. You're at a different phase of your life. And I said, okay. And that's how I came about him. So I just thank God that saved my hysterectomy because it's an unnecessary thing. So I'm giving you a real quick testimony, but I just want to thank God for that and that I understand now. And I thank God for that. And I know others that are suffering and have had hysterectomies. And, you know, so I just wanted to add to that. And so wanting to help others now to deal properly with their fibroids and stuff and not being able to have children because of it and not knowing something so simple as reducing or getting off of need and stuff like that. And some may have other issues. I don't know with that. I'm not saying that, but just also, it's just, you know, being able to get off of dairy products and animal products total to help the situation. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Thank you for helping us connect the dots.
You're welcome.
For our own soul salvation. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. We'll take Sister Leilani at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I'm so excited about starting this class today, and I was concerned because I didn't have the site, and I just bought a new laptop, and I'm just learning how to use it, and I was just so afraid that I wouldn't be able to get on. And anyway, I have 50 years of experience in nursing, and now in my old age, I'm learning that all those things that we relied on, the medicines and the treatments and the surgeries and everything, were not always the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so excited about taking this class and getting back into my field.
Amen. Amen. Yes, God has a work for you to do. Did you get the email?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Awesome. So my recommendation is you can go ahead of time to zoom.us, Zoom, Z-O-O-M, .us, and you can even register and get a free Zoom account. And when you register, it's going to ask your first and last name. And then that sometimes even speeds it up. So when you click on the link, if you've already got Zoom.us account, then you just, you know, make it a little easier. And Zoom is free. We pay for it because we have longer meetings, but anybody can have a Zoom account. So, and then that way that'll get you a little more comfortable. You can go online and look up a video how to use Zoom ahead of time. You know, and just keep in mind, you're on Central Time, so it's going to be 9. So we want you there at 8:45, if you could.
Yes,
because we want people there about 15 minutes early. Yes, we look forward to it. We're just as excited as you are, dear friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. All right, then, it's about that time. We've got about 2 minutes. We'll go ahead and turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, and she can have any closing comments, if she has any, and closing prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We ask, Lord, now that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day as we ultimately do service unto you. Help us, Lord, to be able to speak the words you would have us to speak, to teach the things you would have us to teach. And we pray, Lord, that all will be blessed. We thank you for each heart on this line and ask that you will allow for special healings to be granted spiritually, mentally, and physically. And then we also ask, Lord, for financial blessings to be granted to each soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, friends, God is good. It's time for our closing at this time, salutation. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God, would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust the Lord.
I will trust. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.